During the seven Sundays of Eastertide, we're reading all the scriptures that speak of Jesus' resurrection appearances after his crucifixion, when he came to the disciples. And for each one, there's a banner, the Easter Day banner here, Christ is risen. And then beginning on the left, it'll be every Sunday. Today is the Why Are You Weeping banner, and then a banner for each Sunday from each scripture until the last Sunday of Eastertide on May 20th, which is Confirmation Sunday. So we thank Mark Taylor for putting these beautiful banners together and that really bring life to our sanctuary as we celebrate resurrection. So today's scripture is from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. Each of the Gospel writers gives a little different approach to the Easter Day story. Last week we read from Mark's Gospel where the women go to the tomb and find the tomb empty. And then Mark's Gospel ends. Here in John's Gospel, two of the disciples have come to the tomb, found it empty, and left. But Mary Magdalene has also come to the tomb, and she stays. She remains outside the empty tomb, puzzled. So we hear now the word of God. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's a rush hour on a Friday morning. Could have been an L stop in Chicago, but it's a metro stop in Washington, D.C. A street musician is setting up in a corner. He prepares to play his violin. Let's see what happens. 43 minutes of music, including a piece by Bach that world-renowned classical violinist Joshua Bell calls not just one of the greatest pieces of music ever written, but one of the greatest achievements of any man in history. In those 43 minutes, 7 people stopped to listen, 27 people put a total of $32 in his violin case, 1,070 kept right on walking. According to the video, it was only at the end that a young woman who had been watching him for some time said, "I saw you at the Library of Congress. It was fantastic. Thanks." The young man, who had just made $32 in 45 minutes, wearing jeans and a little baseball cap, he usually wears a tux and makes about $1,000 per minute at a concert performance, because this young man actually is world-renowned classical violinist Joshua Bell. 3 days earlier, he had played Boston Symphony Hall, where the pretty good seats went for $100 a piece, and here he was playing in the subway for donations. Washington Post journalist Gene Weingarten had set this up and asked Bell to stage this as a social experiment back in January 2007. Would people notice great art in an unexpected setting? Would the human spirit respond to beauty in an unexpected moment? Mary has come to the grave expecting to find the body of her teacher, her rabbi, the one she and the others had begun to refer to as my Lord. She finds instead an empty tomb, and the tears begin to fall. But then angels appear, dressed in white. "Why are you weeping?" they ask. She knows why. They've taken her Lord. She doesn't know where they've placed him. And then she turns, and there's Jesus, but she does not recognize him. She doesn't know who he is. She thinks he's the gardener. Even when Jesus speaks, repeating the question of the angels, "Why are you weeping?" still she does not know that it's him. She does not know who it is that's speaking to her. Like a thousand people hurrying through a subway station. Like you and I hurrying through life. Mary does not see her Lord. She cannot respond to beauty in this unexpected moment because she doesn't see it. She doesn't hear the amazing news of resurrection because she cannot even imagine resurrection. Not in this world of endings and deaths and losses that she lives in. She can't even imagine resurrection. We live in Mary's world, you and I do. A world of endings and deaths and losses. It's the world we know for sure. It's a world in which the old continue to send the young forth to do battle over matters of sometimes great consequence, but too often matters of very little significance. It's a world in which a Florida court is going to decide whether a man is a vigilante or a defender of public safety, but no matter what the court decides, a 17-year-old is gone forever, like too many 17-year-olds gone forever from our city streets. It's a world in which, as the comedian says, nobody gets out alive, which is sort of funny and sort of not. You and I have heard the Christ story. We know it leads to an empty tomb. We know the story ends in life, but we're like Mary. We've seen a few crosses in our day. In this week's Christian Century magazine, John Buchanan, who until January was pastor at the Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago, he writes this: "When Jesus died on Good Friday, his followers lost that faith. Until Jesus' death, they had begun to think that what he was saying and doing was good and true, that contrary to conventional wisdom, peacemakers and the meek and the seekers after goodness were blessed and the truly happy ones. They had begun to believe that it is better to give than to receive, that forgiveness is always better than retaliation, that in order to live fully, one has to find ways to give of one's life. And that including the outcast and the marginalized is better than excluding them. All of that was shattered when the powers of the world decided that Jesus should be crucified. We may have lost our faith too, our belief in beauty and in giving and forgiving and welcoming. Our belief in love may have been shattered. Shattered by the crosses that we have seen. But Mary has also seen a gardener. She's also seen a gardener. And when this gardener speaks her name, Mary, Mary, her world changes. She knows who it is who is addressing her. And it is, after all, not a victim of death, but the Lord of life who calls her name. New Testament scholar Tom Wright says that Mary was both wrong, of course, when she called Jesus the gardener, but also maybe a little bit right, too. Wrong because clearly Jesus wasn't there to pull weeds, but right because the whole story of creation begins in a garden. Life comes to the Garden of Eden. And now here in this garden with an empty tomb, new creation, this new creation begins here again in a gardener with Jesus, the gardener of life. Hear John Buchanan again. Political and religious authority demonstrated the world's reality that Jesus was unrealistic, dangerous, and should be eliminated for the good of all. But then came a resurrection. For the disciples, this meant that his ideas were true, and that working for their realization would always be holy work. Work worth living for and even dying for. Everything is different because we now live in a world where death did not have the final word, where truth and goodness and love are the final realities, where a resurrection happened. We're all hurrying through the subway stations of our lives. On our way to sometimes we don't even know where, but always to someplace else. But there's music playing. It may be hard to hear. We may be too hurried to stop and listen, but there's music playing. It's a song of beauty, a song of hope, song of life. It's the music of resurrection. And as the young woman in the subway station told Joshua Bell, it's fantastic. Pray with me. Oh Lord, there are so many places we have to go. But help us to hear the song of beauty, the music of life that you are always playing for our sakes. In the name of our risen Savior, amen.